It's Vishaan Mitchell and Ezra Houghton with our God, a worship medley. A very good afternoon to you if you've just tuned in. It is, of course, the second hour of the show, and I'm back with you. It's Monday, and we're still on Father's Matter. You know, Mondays are purely dedicated to conversations about Father. And I'm going to say this. We got a new guest, brand new guest today. Of course, I don't know, but he'll clarify this. I'm not sure if he's new to Radio Pulpit, but I know I saw him somewhere. And his conversations on Father's Matter are the reason why I ran to Mr. Moore and I said, Father's Matter, please. Because that's how I recognize Father's Matter, with his face on. It's the only reason why I know of Father's Matter. It is purely because of Mr. Desmond Chamke. Good afternoon, Bob Desmond, and welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. What a lovely intro. Thank you very much. This is how you would know me. I think I did a Father's Matter series with another
station. So you remember me from there.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's how I know
yes,
you.
Yes. It's been a while.
Yep.
Good to see you. Good to see you still doing this and still having the same passion that you
Man. All right, I think let's start off here, because you are new to this desk today. If we can just get a brief introduction of who Desmond Chauke is this afternoon before we get to all matters.
Yes. Okay. Desmond Chauke, I'm the son of Julia Chauke and Samuel Chauke. So those are my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I was born and bred in Alex. Like many of your previous guests from Heartlines, there seems to be a push to get people from Alex to just become radio people. I think my biggest claim to fame, not that I'm famous, it's just being a kid from Alex, growing up with all sorts of challenges.
Mm.
And, you know, eventually you grow to a point where one finds purpose. And my purpose was found in Jesus as a young person attending school in Kwapehilanga. And that changed the trajectory of my life for the better, you know, but there's always been challenges there and there.
Of course.
And I'd say, you know, this is a timely conversation, because my conversion, or my later conversion, because you grow up thinking you're a Christian.
Of course.
And only later when you realize it. I was on the fence. I was just, I had one foot in and one foot out. This conversation for me is important because it reminds me of my genesis, my start in this whole thing. There was a father, a mentor, who decided to take me under his wing, not knowing who I was. And I could have been anybody there from, you know, but that claim, taking me under his wing, nurturing this young person who was rebellious, and turning this ash or coal into just a rough piece of diamond that I'm still today sharpening and refining.
Wow. And I think in the spirit of that father who reached out to that young boy, I think this is where we really begin our conversation. I've had Abo Mampoka coming through, and we're talking about this. And the term social fathers came up quite often, you know. Can you start off by explaining what social fathering is?
Social fathering, it's a really confusing term for a lot of people, because when we think social, I had the privilege of growing up in Pretoria as well. Mm. When you're talking social, you're talking stock fair, you're talking all these things. And now you're combining it with father, social fathers. It's a full confusion. But being a social father, I think the definition is simple. It's being a positive, a active presence in a child's life, as much as a father, but you are acting in your role as a father figure, a male father figure that is positive, that is stepping up. Stepping up, why are we stepping up? We're stepping up because there is someone who has stepped down or not even there in the picture, you know? Someone who decided not to be there by choice, by circumstances. In my case, it was circumstances. My father died when I was 5 years old. And the person who stepped up immediately afterwards was my grandfather. And because the term did not exist back then, he was just umkhulu, onkhulisayo, someone who took me under his wing, you know. Funny story, when we're talking about social father, especially in the context of my grandfather, I used to be his favorite child. So he would put me, every time I'd come back from school, he'd take me in. He liked buying Viennas, so he'd buy Viennas and bread and make tea for me. Whether it's hot or cold, he thought the only drink in the world that existed was tea. And from a very early age, I know ukera eskolweni because of him. You know, give me 250 on a day, and when he didn't have, I would just pass by and you know, those type of things.
And
he filled a gap that my father had left unintentionally, because God had other plans with him. But that's when I was thinking about this years later, then I realized that this is an important person. This is a person that shaped my thinking, shaped the way I look at life, and created warmth in a space that warmth did not exist. You can just imagine, you know, coming from school, there are situations where you come back from school, there's nothing to eat at home, and you remember, umkhulu khona, let me go have iviana, and those were moments that I remember, because this is something that affects a whole lot of young people. You know, we speak about 60 to 70% of young people who live without their biological father, without a active father in their lives. He can be there physically, or he can be staying in the next street, but there is no bond. There is no, I think the most important thing, there is no positivity that you get from him, except that he exists as a father. You know? So I think for me, a social father, abomkhulu, abogogo, pastors. I'll speak about two of those who influenced me as we go along the conversation. But we're speaking about leaders in the community, amakomrade, abanye. And on the negative side, of which we don't want to talk much about, there are those social fathers who influence us negatively. Sometimes it can be your uncle, you know, like, for me, in my instant, I had uncles who loved their cold beverages.
Their drinks.
And that's some of the influence that I took. Their drinks, you know. So it's one of those things that you understand that different roles that a social father plays. And it's just a matter of figuring out who is in your life at that moment. We don't have a name for it. That's why we termed it social father, because it's someone who is coming in and acting as a role model, or acting as a father figure where there is none.
Now, how important is the presence of that social father to a child's development?
To say it's crucial would be an understatement. For me, I'd say it was a matter of not life and death, but it was a matter of life and having other choices that I could have made. For example, I remember I had failed my grade 11 as a young person because of societal pressures, wrong friends, being the wrong friend as well.
I've never heard somebody admit to that, by the way.
Exactly. No, I am admitting, being that influential, destructive kid with energy and leadership potential, but using it on the negative side. Umfundisi came to our school. He did not like being called Umfundisi. He spoke to us, and for some reason, his words, penetrated deep within me, and I realized, yo, this person is really touching me in ways that I've never been touched spiritually. And he invited us to attend Saturday schools. I did, my friends did not, but eventually I influenced them to join in because this was something I've never experienced before. But let me just tell you what the presence of him being in my life did. There was a shift, number one, academically. I started to focus at schooling because he then emphasized that if you don't study, you will not make it in life. And I looked at everyone around me and like, I akufundwanga lana, abayindawo. Yeah. A lot of people were not educated, did not go anywhere in life. I mean, in our school, shout out to my former school, KwaBhekilanga, but one of the things that happened is that in one of the assemblies, the principal said it, that a lot of you will not make it. And when you look at that, and imagine those words coming from a powerful leader, not make it, you will end up being taxi drivers, all the negative stereotypes you can think about from a kid from Alex. But his voice, coach who then became my pastor, his voice was different. He gave me books by David Miller, said, but Angifundi, entrusted me to be there at church. He said, no, you are now an usher. I'm thinking, I don't have a church background, but he explained all these things, took me under his wing. There was no formal relationship that says obaba lona, but how I perceived him as a role model, as a figure that had positive behavior, but still was likable, because we thought if you're destructive, that's where people like you more. But he shifted, he had a shift in my script and in my worldview. And because of him, I was able to achieve more academically. One of the things that I achieved more academically, I started teaching other learners, and it was not that he was like, hey, Melubega. No, it was just me seeing him and aspiring to just be different, and that changed how I saw things, and that's how the presence of a social father needs to be. It needs to be someone that you see as an example, someone that you want to emulate. The scripture says, there's where it says, I'm not good with scripture, but this one I know. We must emulate people who emulate Christ. Abantu ababonisa uJesu ngaphakathi kwabo, nathi kumele sibalandelele, sibone uJesu, nathi simveze kwabanye abantu. And I think that's what I saw ngomfundisi. I then became a leader at the church. And all my friends were like, ah, wena, but they ended up following me because they see there's a change in how I do things, how I speak, my sense of confidence. One of the things that I did not mention in this conversation is that I was one of those learners when they say prepared speech, unprepared speech at schooling, I run to the toilet or I run where you will not see me. Because I knew which, if I stand up, something happens to my brain. It just sits down and I can't say a thing.
Get a
But
mind
you look
block.
at the person that I am today and you think, yeah, I mind block. Like, labantu, all they wanted is just to hear me speak. And over time, I was surprised to see myself now standing in front of young people with confidence, speaking and sharing of myself and my testimony. And that could not happen if there was not this guy, SMB's coach in my life. And it's one of those things that you feel a lot more men must step up. It's tough. because it means it's an investment from your side of time, energy, and a sacrifice. But we are called to sacrifice of ourselves, if you read scripture. And I think that's one of the things that I appreciated personally in my own life. So Social Father speaks to me. Everything about it, it just resonates with who I am and what I represent.
Wow. So what are the primary responsibilities of a social father?
I think number one, the biggest responsibility is to be a model. Mm-hmm. And by being a model, role model, I mean, you teach life skills by doing, not by saying. And a lot of us, that's where we miss it, you know, because your actions might say, I am modeling my life skills of integrity, respect, and all those things, only to find out that umuntu obhekile akayiboni lento leyo. For example, I mentioned abo malume bami. They would get angry at me for a long time. Ugogo bekathanda ukungicebisa kubo or abatshela ukuthi, you know what, there's I'm going to tell your uncles. And I smile because I know my uncles benza lento yenzayo. You know, they go to places they should not be going, and they tell me not to go to those places. They do stuff that they should, but bona beza give me with good intentions to say, don't do those things. But what is it that you are doing? So number one, it's to be a role model, providing that guidance that's needed, and providing, more importantly, especially for a boy child, I'm not sure about a girl child because I'm not interacted with that a lot. But for a boy child, the mental health side of things, you know, we grow up with stereotypes that say indoda ifela ngaphakathi, you must not communicate how you feel.
Yeah, and you must not cry even.
Indoda ikhali. And there were times where things were so bad for me that I had to keep it in, but when I get to the shower, I
let it all out.
But I could not share it with anyone, so I let it rage. But in my private space. But when coach became vulnerable to me and said, you know what, I cry sometimes to God. I cry, and I was like, wait, what do you mean you cry? What is this behavior or tendency that I'm sensing from you? But at the same time, I realized that for you to be available for someone else as a social father, there is a level of vulnerability as an exchange that needs to happen. Because if you only show the side that says, I'm man, I'm strong, I'm obviously, you'll be built like a man, but there needs to be a sensitivity to say, I'm vulnerable, I'm weak in these areas. And that's the beauty I loved about Coach. He used to tell me that, as much as you might see me and think things are going well, I have struggles with my wife, I have struggles with my children. I am vulnerable in this area of my life, and I need prayers as well. And there are people who are mentoring me. So don't look at me and think I'm the end all of it.
Yep.
I have my own mistakes. So take the good, leave the bad from me. I'm serving as a positive role model. But at the same time, there are these issues. And once both of things, I remember his voice saying to me, it's okay to cry. As long as you don't stay there, it's a moment that you pass on. There'll be good days, there'll be bad days. But embrace and treasure those bad days because more good days will come. So it's a balance. Fortunately, a lot of leaders, especially who act as social fathers, want to present their good side. They don't want to also present the side that makes them vulnerable. And the most important part about leadership is to show us the side that makes you vulnerable.
Yeah.
I mean, that is Jesus' stance. Jesus cried to a point where blood and sweat was, I mean, that says, how vulnerable can you be as a child of God or as a son of God? if you cannot be at that point. And he led his disciples into that space to say, hey, but at the same time, I know that this is just a momentary thing. Everything will be good.
If
as leaders, we do not allow people into that space, we are not journeying with our mentees or as Abantu, as by leader, or the children that are in our lives that God has entrusted us with.
Sure.
I'm not sure if I answered correctly, but yeah.
Very, very clearly, I must say. And let's say, for instance, there's a gentleman listening right now, and he's thinking, I do believe I've got something to offer, you know. I'd love to play that positive role. How can someone then become a positive social father?
I think number one is to really figure out what type of social father do you want to be.
Sure. Okay.
We don't have all the elements we are not all built the same. For instance, I had a mentee that I was mentoring who was I'll call myself a social father in some aspect, who I was mentoring in a school set up. Was in varsity, was doing his academics in economics, and I did not study economics or anything like that. And in our relationship, I realized that it was a strain, because the focus that was expected from me and the focus that I could give did not match, to a point that it clashed to a certain point. Then I realized that I cannot offer him that support that he needs academically, but I can offer him social, psychosocial support, meaning I can, whatever that he has that is troubling him outside of the space of academics, I can offer. And it only came upon me later on that not all of us can offer the same thing. For instance, a soccer coach can offer a coaching, and in their extendedness, they can also be there emotionally. They can offer emotional support, but they cannot offer a whole holistic approach to everything, because they have a particular mandate that they have to fulfill. Similar to what a young person or a leader who's supporting young people, they have a particular mandate. So, but the most important thing is this, I think. If you are able to just be consistent, be someone that can be consistent in someone's life. Because sometimes what we need, especially as young people, is not so much your guidance and support, because that we can figure it out as we go along. But sometimes we just need a presence that's there that says, you know, if there's something going on, I know I can call this person and say, I'm struggling. I don't know what's going on. I can call you and you are there to answer the phone call on the other side of the line. I can see, can I see you? And you avail yourself consistently. So be someone that can be a support. That's number one. I think number two, it is important that you make sure that you are, even though you are not ready, but avail yourself to a point where you then become a safe space. What do I mean by that? A lot of us as social fathers, we want to be there, but have we created a safe space for us to have those conversations that a young person wants to have with you, especially a young person who is a young man? For instance, a young man that is starting to come of age and realizes that, wait a minute, I slept and I wake up and there's this dream that I had of this lady, and now I wake up with, you know, something in my underwear and stuff like that. How do you then create a safe space for someone to come and talk to you about that without that information getting out? So create a safe space. But number two, be someone that is able to listen. And listening has so many factors that it's complicated. Sometimes we think we're listening, but we're listening because we want to give an answer. So listen not to respond, but listen to be empathetic, not even sympathetic. There's a difference between those two. Being sympathetic, you go into the rabbit hole where a young person says, oh, I have so many problems. You say, yo, my child, we know the problems in this world. No, no, no. Be able to lift them out of that hole that they're in at that particular point. There are practical practicalities that we can talk about. I think number one, support the education of a child. Be someone that can support the education of a child, even though you don't understand. Yep. Sometimes a child can be more smarter than you, but how do you become supportive? Be someone that can be involved in school activities as much as you can. We know time is a luxury these days, but make sure that you are seen in sporting events or moments of significance for the person that you are a social father to. And then just spending quality time. I think the most important thing is the presence. Yeah. I looked forward to Saturdays because I knew I'm going to see a coach, and coach has that presence about him. And showed genuine, I think the last one, showed genuine interest in what the child is interested in. Luckily for me, coach did not have to work hard because I was already interested in things that had to do with motivation. That's so he gave me books by David Mulapo and the likes and videos and all that. But find interest that interests the child. Mm. I give an example to say my niece is interested in drawing and soccer. But if you had to choose one between the two, he will tell you he loves drawing. He will draw Mbappe instead of going and becoming Mbappe. He's more interested in that. But the father, on the other hand, is like, I'm like, no, he's going to be an artist. But you need to be aware of those nuances. And those come only with being present and being aware of the situation that the child is in and that you are in, or a youth in my case.
Oh, wow. Now, for the men listening and thinking they can step into these roles, or, you know, they're perhaps interested in these roles, can you share some tips for building a strong bond?
I think the key word that stands out for me is consistency. Consistency. You can't do this. This is one of those things you can't do once a month and be like, I know I tick my box. I saw them. They were happy. No, no, no. It's an ongoing relationship that requires you to deposit something in order for you to be able to take it out later on, or be able to have that investment that you put in to be replicated in the same manner. What does that mean? It means you build that trust through consistency. You are consistent in how you talk, how you do things. And we already spoke about it. Engage in things that interest the child. Yep. Respect their views, because they are also someone that, on the other side, requires that nurturing. And since we are not from the same background, you also need to know where they come from, know the parents, know the type of background they come from, because there are triggers that can come from you thinking you are joking, but those things are not jokes to the other person. And I think just wrapping it up, it's something that we spoke about, finding common interests. Make sure that your interests are not overpowering the child's interest. For instance, I know someone in our team. I think I know someone in our team who likes Orlando Pirates, for instance. And everyone around them should also be a fan of Orlando Pirates. If you're not, you're in trouble.
Imagine.
Don't be that person. Let people be who they are, their interests. Let them figure out things out that they're interested. And sometimes you find someone that is lost, particularly someone like me who is not exposed to leadership or anything like that. You can then be able to, that's a clear sculpture to be molded. But you then figure out, no, these things that I'm interested in, they're not interested. How can I find things that they're interested in? What do they like growing up? Mm. What are their hobbies? What are their interests? If their hobbies are not as outside of things that are positive, redirect them to things that are positive. And those things help strengthen bonds, because if there is nothing that connects you or interests the two of you, then it's going to be a typical father and son relationship that is like, how was school? So
there's no proper dialogue.
Commonality is there.
Mm.
So if you find things that are interesting for both of you, you then realize, no, then there's proper dialogue that can
happen. It looks like we're losing there a little bit. Desmond, you back.
And you, if you try enough, you realize that smarter they look or what you think. Yes, I'm back. I think the other one, we're talking about navigating boundaries.
Mm.
It is important to understand and respect a biological family, distant. You know, things with good intentions. And then the family comes and be like, "Aw, uqalile uzenza ngathi ngono nathi. Yini thina into esinganayo wena? It's important that you do not surprise the family." Luckily for me, there was very little my family could do, because they did not understand me. So every Saturday you're leaving, as long as ungabuyi udakiwe, it means you're doing something positive. So there was no boundaries to be broken. And there was just that understanding. And parents see a child that is behaving differently based on your association. And especially with us as African parents.
All right. Looks like we have lost Desmond entirely there. Absolutely lost him. But I must say, this is really an eye-opener, and I'm so grateful to Heartlines for opening our eyes. I think I told the story a couple of weeks ago on how a friend was sharing about a neighbor that just went and took her son, and apparently he does so regularly. It wasn't a once-off thing. Well, he just takes the son and he just takes him for soccer, whatever the case may be, regularly, as Desmond is saying. So I really do encourage it amongst our gentlemen to look into that. I think Desmond is back. Yes, Desmond, I can hear you now.
Oh, thank you. I think the devil is trying to disrupt us. But the devil is a liar.
And his mother-in-law. I was waiting for that line.
Oh,
all right, over to you, Desmond. Yes.
I think where I was just to speak about the two things that as a social father you should be able to have. Last one is to the other one, as I was talking about navigating boundaries, meaning parents and all that has to do with a child. Be sure to set those clear boundaries. Number last, I think balance authority with empathy. It's a tough one. Balancing empathy with authority. As an adult, you're already an authority.
Mm.
But how do you then match it with empathy? And I think a lot of us as social fathers, we struggle with that because of the next point that we're going to talk about, which is how do you then enforce certain beliefs without sounding like it's a punishment?
Yeah,
which is one of those tricky things. It's tricky.
It's very tricky. I think also
it's a tricky thing, and this issue has to do with.
Yes, Desmond.
Yes.
Now I was saying, especially in the face of.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Are you there?
I'm here. You're saying in the face of.
Especially in the face of a society that believes that things like discipline can only be instilled by the immediate parent, while so many bodies also play an instrumental role in the child's life.
Yeah. And for me, I think we really need to talk about discipline. What does it mean, even in the context of being a parent? What we talk about discipline? What are we talking about? Discipline isn't about number one. It's not about punishment. You're catching me, or am I?
Yes, you're quite. You're cutting. Still bad? Yes, it keeps cutting, but I can hear you.
Ah, no. Let's. I don't know what to do. Oh, you can hear me.
Yes, I can.
All right. Let's see. Let's see if we can cut the number of networks that are here. Okay. All right. So I was saying that discipline is not about it's not about inflicting pain, and it's not about punishment. It's an expression of love, actually, and commitment. And we talk about discipline in the context of Hebrews 12 verse 6. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. And chastises every son whom he receives. Truth, which is a loving parent corrects a child to help them grow.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to inflict pain. And I think we need to change and reframe what we think about discipline. Discipline, number one, is guidance and training. That is what discipline is. Biblical discipline is something that, compared to sports, in sports you require discipline to play an instrument, or you require discipline to play sports. But we don't say it's a punishment. It's something that require because you are growing, and a coach. And that's why I love speaking about coach. A coach is someone that corrects. It's someone that provides the guidance. So it's not someone who will hit you or beat you up or do something that will hurt you. And another way of thinking about it, discipline is more like restorative rather than retributive. So you're not doing something to hurt someone, but to restore them or repair them to who they are. And I think if we think about discipline in that way, it helps us to change our mindset. The most important thing that I learned is that discipline encourages repentance. If you beat someone, you're not encouraging what we call repentance. In fact, punishment will not stop someone to change their behavior. People don't change because you punish them. People change because they are disciplined. And young people change because when you discipline them in the way that I'm talking about, it shows, it makes them aware of the consequences and want to learn to be more of discipline. Must be something that leaves a scent of love, not a scent of pain.
Yep.
And if that's not the case, then you are in trouble as a leader. So if we want long lasting change as parent, we need to learn to discipline in a way that guides and trains. And that leaves a lasting impact more than ukushaya. Ukushaya, uzongishaya kusasa uzophinda ungishaye. And angazi ukuthi uzongishaya kuze kube nini.
Sure. Wow, Desmond, that's profound. I think quickly, Desmond, here's a quick question because time is running out. You mentioned, actually, let's start here. You've mentioned guardians and biological parents. How can a social father maintain a healthy relationship with the child's biological parents?
I think communication is important. Communication is crucial. Always communicate, but keep the interests of the child at heart. As parents with the parent, we, in fact, our role is to be in a co sort of a co-parenting relationship. Think of it of that co-parenting in that both of us exist for the benefits to make sure that the child's interests are put before our own interests. So, four things that you can do: communicate honestly and openly. Don't try to be a replacement. We know what that means. Ungagcina manje umntana athi ayi mina sengifuna ukuhlalana nomalume, angisafuna ubaba. We know that. Yeah, we know there are those things. Respect boundaries, recognize and the limits of the father, but don't act as if you are a deputy father to that child that's now taking over. Number last, collaborate where possible. If ubaba ukhona and uyambona uyazama ukumfaka umbonisa, maybe naye akazi ukuthi ubaba ikenjani.
Yeah,
So
true.
mfundise. Take them under your wing. The things that you do with the child, faka nobaba, asambeni sobuka ibholo, make it a more fun thing. This will ensure that umntana feels the support of both, and no one feels as if we are overstepping each other. Arhatani di konse. Obabazali, they have the challenge with, hey, onghatani di konse. Understand. Which is not what we are talking about.
Wow. I actually believe, Desmond, you guys have a tool, for social fathers, and tips and help for social fathers. If you can just fill us in on that one.
Oh, yes. So we have this tool that we call, it's a WhatsApp-based tool for fathers. This assists fathers to be able to navigate fatherhood, especially social fathers. There are a whole lot of things we don't know. For instance, you know there's a child's birthday, awunamali, and you want to involve both parents as well. What do you do? Talk to us as a social WhatsApp the father's mentor coach. But first, you need to register so that it can give you tips. Of what exactly you want. So, for instance, you want to create a birthday for umntana. WhatsApp coach will help you out. So, what you do is that you need to just send it a hi, but first you need our number, obviously.
Of
So, which is
course.
060-058-2107. Let me repeat it: 060-058-2107. So it will ask you a few questions. Who are you? What is your role in the child's life? What do you need? And all that. And afterwards, it's a communication. It gives you answers like Google would not. We trust it for many things. In fact, some fathers are now using it for their own issues. My wife is giving me challenges. So it's unfortunately, it's not meant for that, but
But it
because
still
it's an
works.
AI coach, it will redirect you and say, no, it still works. It does the work. It works like magic. It answers questions that it gives you an immediate answer. You don't have to wait for to meet your friends to say you have a problem. Immediately when you have a problem, it gives you an answer there and there. A
Wow.
child is giving you challenges at school, you're a teacher. You put in, hey, this child is giving problem, and I want to discipline them, not in a good way, or in a bad way, and it will give you answers to say, no, discipline is means this, so do the right thing. So yeah, a father's mentor coach has been a revelation to us, and I think a lot of fathers would benefit from it, because it's a tool that it's intelligent is above many fathers. But it's something that you can claim as your own answers. Kids will be surprised. You're coming with tools that are interesting. I'm a social father. Listen to your ass. And it makes you look good.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Oh, man.
Makes you look good in front of your children. Front of your wife. Makes you look good in everyone's eyes. And we take no credit. We just want you to just say, it helped me. That's all.
Thanks for your time, Desmond. Really appreciate this chat. Do you have any parting words on the importance of social fathering?
Yeah, I think what I will say is that be a social father. You may not know the impact that you're making. And I think of it this way. Sometimes we plant trees. And we think, but not realizing that it will create a shade for the next generation. So the support and the love that you're putting into nurturing a child is something that will shape their future. And it's not something that you will see immediately, but you will see it as you journey with them. To a point where they become someone special and they mention you like I've been mentioning a coach on the radio. And it's something that is, it feels at this time that, you know what, but it's not a lot of work.
Yeah.
It just requires you to be there and present.
Wow.
Yeah.
Desmond.
And yeah, lastly, for those of,
No, over to you.
Oh, yes. I was going to say, for those of you who found this conversation interesting, please follow us, our movement on the internet. We are called Fathers Matter on Facebook, also on WhatsApp, like follow our page. And yeah, follow us, fathersmatters.org. You get more information about being a social father. And I promise you, once you follow these tips and strategies, you become a better father. This is for fathers. This is for social fathers.
Can we also as mothers right there on Father's Mat and get some assistance?
Oh yes. I forgot to say that. Nabo mama, go on the app. You remember, mothers are the backbone and they are the pillar of our society. This 70% is kulumangayo. Ihlala nabobani, ihlala nabomama.
Yep.
So mothers, we appreciate your work. We give you ihlombe, we clap hands for you. Please download get on WhatsApp, mention your situation. It will give you tips as well to say, yes, this is how you talk to your child, this is how you deal with a young man who is experiencing puberty, this is how you journey. It doesn't have to be a struggle. Sometimes fathers are not there to be social fathers. Let WhatsApp coach journey with you. Wow. Until a social father comes into play.
Wow. Desmond, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate this conversation. And continue doing the great work in our children's lives.
Thank you very much for the time. Apologies for the internet. Next time, the devil will not do me this bad. I'll find good internet so that we can have a clean conversation.
Oh, man. Thanks, Desmond. God bless. Have a great afternoon.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. True, authentic, Christian radio.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222. Or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you. Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.